Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's wait another minute.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and mute and be ready.
Okay. Begin with a L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bit Kilu Urchimu Ud Kilu Urchimu Le'achda L'shem Yudhe Bobate Le'yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'sok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kononeh Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kononehu. Today we will be studying the second Aliyah, which consists of
has joined
from chapter 44, verse 31, to chapter 45, verse 7. This is a total of 11 verses. We know the number 11 connects to the energy of the Ketoret, which will bring you closer to Hashem. And this is consistent with the continuation of the words between Yuda approaching Joseph and trying to unify with his brother that he had sold without knowing it's his brother yet. But it's also the other idea of Yehuda approaching represents the Jewish nation, the children of Israel approaching Hashem and getting closer to Hashem. And that is connected to the number 11 as well, because it's about the Ketoret getting closer to Hashem. Verse 31 in Hebrew. Wehaya kiroto ki ein hanar. Wamed wehori du avadecha et sevat avdecha avinu beyagon sheola ki avdecha araved hanar meim avile mor im lo. Tati le avi ko hayamim weata yeshevna avdecha tachat hanar eved ladoni vehanar ya'alim echav ki ech ele el avi vehanar. Ani Yosef Ha'od Avi Vayomer Yosef el Echav, Kishuna Elai, Vaygashu, Vayomer Ani, Yosef Achichem, Asher Mekartem, Oti Mitzrayma, Ve'ata Alta Atzvu, Al Yechar,
has joined.
Nechem, Ki Mekartem, Oti, Heina Ki Lemich Yashelachani, Elohim Livnechem, Ki ze shenataim harav bekerev haaretz v'yod chamesh shanim asher ein charish v'katzar v'yishlacheni Elohim lifnechem lasum lachem sherit Baret ul hachayot lachem lifneta gedola. That's the completion of the Hebrew reading. We will now connect to the translation to gain greater insights.
Has joined.
Verse 31. It will come to pass, when he sees that the boy is gone, he will die. And your servants will have brought down the hoary head of your servant, our father, in grief to the grave. For your servant assumed responsibility for the boy from my father, saying, if I do not bring him to you, I will have sinned against my father forever. So now, please let your servant stay instead of the boy as a slave to my lord, and may the boy go up with his brothers. For how will I go up to my father if the boy is not with me? Let me not see the misery that will befall my father. Now we change a different chapter, chapter 45, verse 1, at this point. And we know that the chapter system comes from the monks in their seclusion, and when they were copying the Torah scrolls. And this idea of being in a different chapter means that there was a space in the Torah scroll. Why wouldn't they have included these four verses in the previous day? It makes sense for it to be included. It would have been 17 verses that we would have read yesterday. But then you have to look at what the number of verses would have been today. And this, I believe, was what the sages did do. So, let us find out. Now Joseph could not bear all those standing beside him, and he called out, take everyone away from me. So no one stood with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. Now, take everyone away from me, which should have included the brothers, right? So was the language unclear? Or it wasn't necessary for us to have exactly the idea, because the Because the part of the verse that says, so no one stood with him, tells us that the brothers were known to him, that they did not leave. So the instructions were actually, take everyone away except for these. But that would have added letters to the Torah, and we don't do that. Our tradition teaches there's no additional letters that could be learned from other ways. Verse 2, and he wept out loud, so the Egyptians heard, and the house of Pharaoh heard. Well, Joseph wasn't in the house of Pharaoh. He was in his own house. It was close by. So how could Pharaoh have heard him weeping? Because we're talking about metaphysical hearing. We're talking about intuition. We're talking about the messages that we all get. Some we listen to, some we don't, some we hear, and some we don't. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him because they were startled by his presence. Except you have to ask a question. Joseph knew from what we read yesterday, his brothers had told him that he was still alive. He had asked that question, how is your father? And they said, he is well. So why does he ask again, is my father still alive? Are they being asked on two different levels, one being external and the other internal? One being on the physical and the other on the spiritual? Why is the question asked? We just got through explaining that extra letters are not there. So why do we need to know that he asked again about his father? Then Joseph said to his brothers, please come closer to me. And they drew closer. And he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not be sad, and do not let it trouble you that you sold me here. For it was to preserve life that God sent me before you. Now, which God sent him? Was it Elohim or was it Hashem? It was Elohim sent him. Elohim sent him to preserve life? Does that make sense to you? Is judgment about preserving life? It is. It can be. But we don't normally think like that. And it's important to make these observations in order to truly grow in Torah. Verse 6, for already 2 years of famine have passed in the midst of the land, and for another 5 years there will be neither plowing nor harvest. This is what tells us what was the lie in the seven sheaves, in the dream of that Pharaoh had of the seven sheaves, or also the seven cows. Because they would have known, was the forecast for seven and not two, which is what the Torah is telling us here. Because Jacob came down relatively quickly after this event. So it was still within the 2 years, according to the sages. And the famine ended after these 2 years, because there was no reason anymore for the famine, because the children had come down. So why was it 7 years? God didn't know that it was going to be 7 years, that it wasn't going to be 7 years, it was going to be 2 years. So what is this telling us? In the last verse, and God sent me before you to make for you a remnant in the land and to preserve it for you for a great deliverance. There's a lot of questions to ask here. To make for you a remnant in the land. What is he talking
has
about?
Has joined.
The food? What is he talking about, a remnant in the land? Is it a remnant for the growth of the nation? But how is the idea of a remnant? What is the meaning of remnant? Is a small amount. And to preserve for you for a great deliverance. If Joseph had not prepared the food, there would be no deliverance. Okay, but how does that relate to a remnant? We have completed the English translation. We are left with questions, which is very normal. These questions we can contemplate. And that's part of the reason that we read the Torah, study the Torah every day. We're not reading from a scroll as people do on Monday and Thursday. Why do they do Monday and Thursday, and why only twice a week and not every day? Because the minions are supposed to come together every day to pray. So why not read the Torah every day? One of the explanations for that question, in the writings of the Ari, he says, we need to hear the Torah once every 3 days in order to protect ourselves from the negative systems. But why not read it every day like we are doing every Aliyah for the day that it's arriving on? Does anybody have any questions? We will now read the third paragraph in the Perek Shira. It's a long one. Amru Rabotenu Zal al David Amelech Ayin He Besha'a Shesiyem Sefer Techilim Zaha Dato Alav Amar Lifne Hakadosh Baruchu Yeshbaria Shebarata Beolam Ha Sheomeret Shiro Betishbacho Yoter Bimi Meni Beotasha Nizdamna Lo Tifardea Achat Viamra Lo David Alzua Datcha Lecha Shani Omeret Shiro Betishbachot Chamisha v'alef v'lo od. Ela she'ani oseket me'mitzvah gedola v'zu. Hi ha'mitzvah she'ani oseket va. Yesh bishpat hayam min echad she'en parnasato. Kim min hamayim usha shehu raev nod leini v'och leini v'kayim ma shene emar im raev shonacha ha'akilehu lechem v'im tzame haskehu ma'im ki nechalin atahote al rosho v'adonai yohe wahe adanu yo yo wahe da wanu heyo yeshalem lach al tikre yeshalem lach elayish yashlimehu lach. The English translation of this relatively long paragraph. The sages said concerning King David that when he completed the book of Psalms, he became proud. He said before the Holy One, "Blessed be he. Is there any creature you have created in your world that says more songs and praises than I?" At that moment, a frog happened across his path, and it said to him, "You think it was a coincidence that at that moment? David, do not become proud, for I recite more songs and praises than you. Furthermore, every song I say contains 3,000 parables, as it says, and he spoke 3,000 parables, and his songs were 1,500. And furthermore, I am busy with a great mitzvah, and this is the mitzvah with which I am busy. There is a certain type of creature by the edge of the sea, whose sustenance is entirely from creatures living in the water. And when it is hungry, it takes me and eats me, such that I fulfill that which it says, 'If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you shall heap coals of fire on his head, and God shall reward you.' Do not read 'shall reward you,' but instead 'shall make him complete you.'" Thus the verse reads, "You shall heap coals of fire on his head, and God shall make him complete you." This is according to the Yalkut, which is a sefer that's written by a particular sage. That's the end of the Psalms. This paragraph, this verse, needs to be read after the reading of the 150 chapters of Psalms. It's not the halakha, it's not a normal practice as I know, but it is something that's that this particular sage wrote in his Sefer. But what is this whole verse explaining? First off, to understand, what is the mitzvah the frog is completing? His purpose for creation to this to be food for this other creature who lives by the sea. Who is this other creature? Why isn't it explained who the creature is? If we were close to nature, we would know what animal eats the frogs. And I'm sure there are people in the world who do know it. I do not. But if the frog is saying, my purpose in being created was to allow this animal to eat me because I provide him nourishment. That is my purpose, and I am doing it. This is a great lesson of what is your purpose. No, your purpose is not to be eaten by someone else. Your purpose is to help someone else. Can you say that you are doing your mitzvah as well as a frog? What else is this verse, this paragraph saying? I have 3,000? Every song I sing connects to 3,000 parables. And he has 1,500 songs, and each one has 3,000. So how many parables are there? 3,000 times 1,500? That's 4,500,000 parables. What is a parable? It's a story that has a point that allows you to understand some relationship through the study of the story. King Solomon wrote the Proverbs, which are parables. But there are not 4,500,000 verses in the Proverbs. There is much to contemplate within this verse, this third paragraph, about not becoming proud. There is a story told about one of the Hasidic rebbes lived in the 1800s. It's actually told about his son who became a rebbe. His son came home from the holidays, came home for the winter holiday or maybe the Pesach holiday, we're not sure. And he came home, and that's the time when all of the Hasidim would gather around their Rebbe. So, you know, he was back home from the yeshiva for the week or two or three. And he met a man, one of the Rebbe's Hasid. And this man looked at what the child, the teenager, was saying. And he felt that he needed some comeuppance, that his arrogance was showing. So he engaged the boy in a conversation. And he compared himself to the boy, and he said essentially, You know, I don't know what you're so proud of. You were raised in the house of a king. You were raised in a house as a prince. You had the best teachers. You have the best food. You never lacked for anything. And you, yes, you learned Torah, and you learned a great amount of Torah. But it was the environment that allowed you to do that. It's not, you're not anything special. Anybody in that environment would reach the same level. But me, I was born in a house of poor people. And I go out before prayers every day. And I go and I sell. I don't really sell. I collect the rents from the Polish farmers who are crude. In order to even have any business to be able to have them receive, pay me what's going to be due me, I have to get there before they spend it all on drink and bad women. So I have to go out there, and before I can even talk to them, we have to have some schnapps. And then I rush back to pray. And I have a little bit of time after the prayer to study before I have to go out and do some more of it to keep those peasants from spending their money on liquor and I wouldn't have the rent to pay me. And he says, I'm just, you know, I'm a crude man. But you were born in this environment. The boy left the conversation and he was thinking about it. And he went to some of the other Hasidim to ask about this man that he didn't know who told him this. And he was told this man is very erudite, he's very knowledgeable, and he's a very refined soul, is the way it was explained to him in multiple ways. The holiday is over, the boy goes back to yeshiva. The next holiday, the next time the man comes to see his Rebbe, he asks for a one-on-one conversation. And the Rebbe greets him with a thank you. I need to thank you because you have made my son a chassid. This is why we need to compare ourselves to the frog. We need to understand what is our purpose in life. Just like each animal knows what verse to sing that relates to their level of consciousness. We're out of time. Does anybody have any questions? And while you're unmuting yourselves, today's classes are 11 o'clock. All times are West Coast times. The 11 o'clock class is our basic class. There will be a deep Zohar class at 4:30 and an essay about the Parasha of Vayigash at 7 o'clock. Are there any questions? I bid you all Shalom Gadol. Have a beautiful week. Shavua Tov. Have much peace and serenity in your lives today. Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.